Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the latest edition of the First Down Snapcast. I'm joined by regular pundits Stuart Horsfall and Ian Davis, and we're joined by a special guest tonight, Charles Clawson. How are you all doing?
Don't bother.
Oh, God. I give up. I absolutely give up.
That was like Laurel Harvey. I will either this bit. I'm Laurel.
Poor Stuart's crying.
Just bleep it out. I didn't swear, I said swear. It's clearly clear.
I think that might be the funniest thing you've ever done here.
But it's not difficult.
Yeah, it's not
hard. I fell off the couch after that.
We're going to be here until Christmas.
Sorry, I lost control a little bit then.
Right.
Need to go to the toilet.
I need to wait there.
I've got adult nappies on.
Not bad, thank you, Richard.
Good.
I'm really good, thanks, Rich.
Yeah.
I'm okay, mate.
Obviously, got Charles on the show. Charles, would you just like to let the listeners know how you first got into NFL? And
because I'm quite old, I got into it when it was first on Channel 4 back in, about 1984, something like that. Nicky Horn on the Channel 4 show when Channel 4 was just starting up. That's about it, really. I picked a couple of teams and kind of stuck with them ever since. But I had quite a few years in the wilderness and only really sort of got back into it again in the last, I guess, 2, 3, 4 years maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask, there is, since you've been watching it for that long, how do you not know anything about the NFL? How have you been watching it that long and not know anything about it?
Well, I haven't been watching it that long because I'm quite old. I forgot, apart from the fact it was on Channel 4, I've forgotten all of that nearly.
you've forgotten everything?
Yeah, because I'm old. And, you know, you forget things when you get old. Ian will tell you.
I can't believe you remember the name of Nicky Horn, was it?
The presenter, yeah.
I'm used to it at the beginning. at the beginning, Channel 4 used to rearrange the logo so it looked a bit like an American football player. You remember that?
Well, can be. Yeah, I forgot about it.
Yeah.
How come you can remember all this, but you can't remember who the Packers are playing?
Packers are playing. I know the Packers are playing. They're playing the Rams.
Well, that'll be a good one. We're going to that.
Yeah.
Have you done like a bit of pre research just before coming on the podcast, so you don't get shown up by Ian's knowledge?
If I was doing any pre podcast research, I've done it all now.
Was that it? Just the Packers play?
That's all I needed. So
to be fair, that instantly is more than what Ian knows. He just tends to agree with whatever I say.
I've noticed that because
I'll steal what Stuart's already mentioned.
But can you remember all that from Tuesday night and overnight?
Don't forget, I'm the person who listens to the podcast that you keep talking about.
Oh yeah, are you the one listener?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Are you the guy who doesn't tell your wife where you're going?
No, listen. Nobody's listening to it.
That's true.
Still no swearing though.
No, there's no swearing on this show. No one does that. So we'll come on to later on in the show while Charles is on here, but we'll kick off this week with the news.
NFL News and Rumours.
So one of the major news stories this week, we briefly discussed last week, and I think I'll quote Ian's words, Dallas Cowboys don't need Amari Cooper. What happened this week, Ian?
Can I just say, you two have been telling me that I said this. I can't remember us having this conversation.
We did.
There is actually recorded evidence that you said it, because it was on the podcast last week.
You said Dak didn't need him, and Dallas won't spend a first rounder for him.
I think it's a great signing.
To be fair, from what I gather, they didn't want to spend a first rounder on him, and then after their complete inept performance at the weekend, they basically just went on Monday, we'll have him. He's a first round pick, send him over.
Allegedly, the Eagles had offered a second round pick, and that had been knocked back by the Raiders.
Yeah.
I'd heard that as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a great pick for Dallas. And I think everyone would be proved wrong about John Gruden, but that's maybe another story.
To be honest, I think the jury's still out on Gruden. I think his plan now is becoming that he just basically wants to rebuild the entire roster. And I think I read somewhere that there's only two players that he's not willing to trade, and that's somebody they drafted this year and Derek Carr, and everybody else is basically up for trading.
See, I'm not sure that they're not going to trade Derek Carr. I don't think they're trading yet.
There's 2 weeks left. I think it could be an interesting 2 weeks. I think Derek Carr could still leave the Raiders.
I think if he's going to go, he'll go at the end of the season, I think. I think Gruden's canny enough to see what he's... Because he's a good player, he's been a bit off form recently, but I think that he'll be assessed over the rest of the season, and then they might get rid of him close season.
I disagree with that slightly, because I don't think the QB talent that's coming through in this draft is good enough to replace Derek Carr, so I wouldn't be surprised if he does a lot of his rebuild in this year's draft and then gives him some weapons next year to see what he does next year, and then maybe the end of 19 he's traded away if he doesn't perform. Because looking at what they could pick up in the draft this year, I don't think they would get the franchise quarterback that they would want.
Fair enough.
Yeah, because this year was the year the quarterbacks won it, so never get two back-to-back years.
I was just going to say,
I think John Gruden's better than he's being made out to be, and I think he's going to turn out to be Brian Clough of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where when you trade away some of your better players, then there's always going to be eyebrows raised. But I think if he's looked at it and he's going to have a 2-3-4 year project, and I mean he's going to be there for 10 years, isn't he? So if he's going to use that to get the picks to obviously turn the entire team around, then only time is going to tell. But if I was a Raiders fan, I'd be concerned right now.
Yeah,
there's two ways of looking at it though, isn't there? You can be concerned, or you can think he is building for the future. I mean, they've written off this season. probably next season, once they get established in Vegas, then perhaps that's when he wants to be in his top form.
Yeah, because I wonder if they're doing a sneaky thing, that rebuild for a couple of years, and then within a couple of years of being in Vegas, be a Super Bowl challenger. Try and get this trophy there to franchise early in Vegas.
Because it's a big deal going to Vegas.
It is a big deal going to Vegas, but I mean, every team's ambition is to win a Super Bowl, so it's not as easy as just rebuilding a team and then you'll automatically be, you know, challenging. So it's some big calls getting rid of known talent on the off chance that you're going to pick up similar talent or better in the draft for a cheaper price. So that's where the...
Sorry, I know you're interrupting me. I think it's an extreme policy, but it might garner extreme results. It's a gamble.
It is a gamble. And if he thinks it's worth the risk, then fair enough. But I think that's why a lot of fans are upset, because the kind of talent like, you know, Khalil Mack is the kind of talent that doesn't come round very often in the draft.
No.
And he's not. And it's not the kind of talent that even in your first year is going to be, you know, that good. It's kind of a building talent, and I think that's why most people are upset, because you just cannot replace Khalil Mack.
But if the two of them don't get on, there's always going to be one loser. There was only Khalil Mack, the only loser for the Raiders. Obviously, it's a game
But they didn't get on because they didn't pay him the money. If they'd have paid him the money, I'm sure they would have got on like house on fire.
Yeah. Obviously, now with Cooper leaving, a lot of pressure is going to be on Jordan Nelson, isn't it now?
I think they'll get rid of Jordan Nelson.
What, before the window end of the season?
I don't know. You know, I don't know enough about it, but I've just got a feeling Jordan Nelson's not a good fit for the Raiders, and he's not going to run away from anyone, is he?
Well, no, he's a possession receiver, isn't he? He's somebody that you're going to use to move the chains. I don't think they've actually got that deep threat anymore, because I think they've been using Martavis Bryant like that, and I think he's dropped far too many balls this year. So I don't think they've got. And to be honest, maybe they are just a chain moving possession team at the minute, because you know that's what they're going to have to use Jared Cook for.
Didn't they get rid of Bryant and bring him back in?
Yeah, because I thought he was going to be suspended, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they've also lost Lynch's out for the season now as well, didn't they?
I knew he was out for the season.
But I don't think he's out for the season. I think he's out for a significant period.
Yeah, but I think they're quoting out about he's probably played his last game in Oakland.
Well, I heard something today, because you mentioned Gerard Cook. I heard he might be next on the chopping block.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised at Oakland at the minute, to be honest. I think any trades that come out of there wouldn't be surprised me. I do want to say, though, one thing before we move on, that we started on Dallas on this one, and I actually think that, yes, I do think it's a good trade to get Amari Cooper for a first round pick, but I still think that the jury is out on Dak Prescott, on whether he is going to be able to sit in the pocket and make the plays that Dallas need with those wide receivers, because they've actually got a decent wide receiver group now.
Yeah.
But he's shown he can be a good player. I mean, okay, the last couple of seasons not so well, but with his first season in, he was outstanding.
He was.
Yeah, but they were running a slightly different offense. The reason that Dak is a threat is because he's got such good legs and he can move. It opens up, and he's got obviously Zeke at the backfield, that he opens up the play action. But I've only seen him do it once this year.
But now they've got Amari Cooper. Surely that gives him more options, because the wide receivers have got the moment since they lost, what's his name?
The problem is he's not looking downfield.
He's not even targeting him. So you know, you can have the best wide receivers in the world, but if Dak ain't throwing the ball, it don't matter who you've got running the routes, does it? And my concern with Dak is that his tendency is to either give it to Zeke or scramble.
And yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas just bin him off, because if you're going to invest in people like Amari Cooper, you need someone that's going to sit in the pocket and make the plays. And I don't think Dak Prescott... I'm actually now starting to think that Dak Prescott, and maybe not as bad, but he's going the same way as Blake Bortles, where you get one good game and then just a load of bang average games.
I'm quite excited about that pairing, Prescott and Cooper.
It
and
should
I think
be.
It could be something.
Yeah,
they've got a lot of nondescript wide receivers there, and suddenly they've got a big star, and I think it could be the making of Dak Prescott. But obviously, I've got to disagree with you, Stuart. But I also admit I could be wrong.
But all I would say is that Alan Hearns was quite productive in the Jaguars team with Blake Bortles throwing out to him, and he's now less productive with Dak Prescott throwing to him. And you don't just become a poor receiver overnight. And I think it's more to the fact that Dak Prescott doesn't target his wide receivers. At least Blake Bortles will try and air it out. I mean, granted, he gets picked more often than not, but he will try and air it out, whereas Dak doesn't, and he sits in the pocket too long, doesn't pass when he sees the opportunity, and then ends up scrambling around.
But maybe you've got a situation now where because Amari Cooper's going to be like double and triple marked, it might give the chance for the other wide receivers to shine a bit. That's all I'm thinking.
Possible.
Possible, but I still think that you've got to take the shots, and I'm not sure he does take the shots. That's my concern with Dak at the minute.
Let's have a final word from the Cowboys fan, Ian. You've been sat quietly listening to it all.
I don't know the Cowboys anymore.
Is he crying?
I didn't realise was Amari Cooper is only 6 months older than Calvin Ridley.
Didn't know that.
I don't know what to think about it. I don't know if it's going to be a good move or not, because I have my doubts about Dak Prescott as well. Have we just wasted a first round pick on somebody who we're not going to be able to throw the ball to?
It was an expensive deal.
Yeah.
Well, it might not be expensive, of course.
Oh yeah, it could end up not being expensive.
Yeah.
If them two connect and Dallas make playoffs and do well in the playoffs, it was a first round well spent.
And I think they're on the up a little bit at the moment, Dallas, after a very slow start.
I think they lost the last game.
Yeah, but I still think they're on the up overall. They're looking like they've got a bit more energy.
We just lost it because of a bad call that knocked us back 5 yards.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I didn't see the finish of that game because I watched half of it on Sky, went to bed, then I was going to watch the other half on Game Pass, and Game Pass blanks it out for 24 hours, so I never actually got to see the game finish.
Yeah, Dallas lost.
Yeah, I know. That's all I know. I don't know how they lost. I don't know. You know, they're looking alright.
He hit the pass with a field goal.
Standard field goal miss.
But again, it was offensive play calling when we just wasted time instead of having a shot at the end zone.
Got Amari Cooper now, so it might all change.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Another trade, what's happened this week, was Eli Apple to the Saints from the Giants. What were your thoughts on that, Stu?
The wrong Eli.
Well, yeah. Well, Odell thought it was either Eli, didn't he?
Yeah,
I did see that. That did make me laugh a little bit when that meme came out. I mean, to be honest,
Is it meme or is it a meme?
I was thinking exactly the same. I don't know, because we're old.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
No, I don't.
It's one of them stupid pictures with words on.
It's a meme.
All the fans can write in and tell us for next week.
Meme.
Thanks for clearing that up. Anyway, back to the question in hand. I think you'll find Giants are going to go through a period of a rebuild as well.
we have a child aboard tonight.
That's not me, I've got to say.
Me.
Have you finished?
Good move at Saints, though, isn't it?
Well, I think that's it. Secondary needed some help anyway, so I think that's it's good for them. And I think you'll just see Giants basically start to rebuild a little bit. I think they're definitely going to need a quarterback. I think they were trading away. Did they trade away a defensive tackle as well?
Yeah,
to Lions.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see that. I think Giants are probably going to go through a period of rebuild. I think it's good for the Saints because Eli Apple was quite a picked out a talent in, a couple of years ago when he got drafted, so it'll be interesting to see how he does. But they've got a very young secondary now, so I think Apple was probably one of the most experienced, so it'll be interesting to see how they get on.
Corey Coleman
is
now at the Giants.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Will he play snaps, Joe?
No, not a chance.
I think he will, Stuart.
Yeah, but Eli won't throw a ball to him.
Because you said he'd take a snap at Patriots. I'm sticking with the fact that there must be... He must not be able to learn the playbook.
Because no one wants him.
Because he's a first-round talent that is now... Is this going to be his fourth team?
I think it's his fourth team
this season, isn't it? He's had Browns, Bills, Patriots, and now Giants.
Was he at the Bills?
Yeah.
Bill's had him for like 3 days.
Yeah.
I just don't think he can. I don't think he can learn the playbook. I think his biggest problem is I don't think he knows the playbook. So I can't see any team wanting to risk a roster spot on somebody that they're not quite sure is going to run the route that the quarterback's expecting.
Yeah. When Odell was thinking it was over Eli the other day, it came out Eli Manning's got a no trade deal in his contract, so he can't be traded away.
Really?
Yeah, I was reading up about this yesterday. Two years ago he got a clause put into the contract that the Giants couldn't trade him away. Now that must be
I'm not being funny, but who in the right mind is going to trade for Eli Manning anyway?
How many times did he get sacked this weekend? Six or seven?
Yeah, he's. I mean, that's a lot down to his O-line, but I don't think his O-line are complaining that he's sitting in the pocket too long and they can only hold him out for so long. I mean, which team is generally going to go try and trade for Eli Manning?
No one's going to go, are they?
Exactly, so that clause in his contract is irrelevant.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. So we'll bring the news to end this week. So looking back, let's have a look at week 7's highs and lows and our defensive and offensive players of the week. Start with you, Ian, on any highs?
The game at Wembley was a good one, wasn't it?
It was. But about time we had a nice little nail biter.
Yeah,
I
mean, it wasn't the best game in the world, wasn't it? But it was exciting.
I know Stuart's going to want to chomp in a minute about the 2-point conversion.
No, I mean, I'm going to jump in at the fact that I watched it on TV because I didn't go to the game. You went to the game, so you're probably going to have a slightly different perspective, but actually it was a pretty dull game to watch.
I think, just very quickly, because I thought the Titans started off quite well with the first drive, but then that 75 yarder by Philip Rivers, I just thought Chargers were going to run away with it from that point on.
I think it was the safety for the Titans got caught out napping twice, didn't?
Yeah, he did.
At least a better team all round. And I was surprised how badly the Chargers looked without Melvin Gordon. They completely lost one dimension of the game, which was the running game, and without that, they looked shaky.
I was gonna say something about that, and perhaps I didn't notice that as much as you lot would, but it was very much like you got this idea that the Titans were all toil and all running and working hard, driving the ball up the field, and then it was just bang, 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 and Chargers scored with, you know, long throws.
Well, that's what it was. The Chargers didn't have a running game, and for some reason the Titans, who not had a running game all year, suddenly decided to find a running game. So it was a game. If you would have picked it, I would have said that Chargers running game would have completely outperformed the Titans, but it was the other way around.
I think we talked about it, didn't we?
Yeah, but I tell you what, I feel sorry for Marcus Mariota, because his wide receivers are just dropping everything.
Corey Davis was, he had some clear ones which you should no way be dropping them at all.
Oh, but they're like on clutch players, like where he's like third and nine, and he hits Corey Davis with a proper breadbasket pass, and he just drops it. And then you bring on the punting team, and it's just, for me, that they need to seriously address that wide receiver group, because it is not good enough at the minute.
I don't know masses about Mariota, but I thought he looked good in a scrambling role in the game. I thought he was quite impressive in that way.
That's because he can't trust it to throw it to his wide receivers.
It's all getting revealed now, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah. Any highs or lows for you, Stu? What stand out?
A particular high for me, which is, you all know my disdain for Blake Bortles, was the fact that he got subbed out and Cody Kessler came into play. I thought that was a particular high point of the weekend. And I know he does well in London, but the way he's playing, I wouldn't be surprised if it happens again at Wembley, if he gets subbed out, because I think he's taking the Jaguars team backwards, single-handedly taking them backwards. I don't think it's helping the fact that they're missing Lenny Fournette as well. I think that's a big miss for him. But I seriously think that Jaguars are now coming to terms with the fact that they shouldn't have given him that ridiculous contract, and they should probably look for a quarterback, because the window for Super Bowls closes pretty quickly, and they have got a genuine Super Bowl winning team apart from a quarterback, and it's like the most important position. I think at one point in that game, he had more sacks than... I mean, somebody might have to correct me on this, but I'm sure I read somewhere that there was more sacks on him than complete passes.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know about stat, but that's impressive.
It was somewhat ridiculous, and that's why he got oinked out of the game, and I don't think Cody Kessler was much better, but I think in the long run, Cody Kessler probably could be a lot better, but I think... that was a particular high point for me, because I think the Jags need to move on from Bortles.
Yeah. Any highs or lows for you, Charles?
I've probably got a high and a low at Wembley. The high's got to be that when we eventually struggled through the crowds in the inner circle to meet you, Richard, at half time, which is incidentally too short a half time. But the high was that Stuart wasn't there. Stuart, who I've got to also mention the week before, who was there, which could have been low for last week, did look with his Vikings hat on, suspicious like Mr. Burns out of The Simpsons.
Oh, Stu, the love to you tonight. It's just.
I tell you, there's a lot of jealousy kicking around, isn't there?
Just while we're on the subject of Wembley, just moving away from Stuart for a minute, if we can. Is a low has got to be what they're doing to Wembley and the surrounding area.
Oh, the hotels.
Me and Ian were in Miami last year, and I know America's a big country and there's loads of room to do stuff and what have you, but they had this opportunity to make Wembley this big stadium with a big nice surrounding area, and they're just putting buildings on every inch of concrete that they can find, and it's awful.
It's not.
But I think you've hit the nail on the head. They just don't have the space.
But they have got the space. It's they want to make money, which I understand. But you know, you had a chance to create a bit of greenery around Wembley, because there is space if you want to make it that way.
Yeah.
I think they've just messed up, really, because it's like there's a stadium now.
Yeah,
but definitely. I kind of agree with you, but it's also business, and you want it to be profitable, don't you?
But so's the NFL as a whole, and they manage it.
Yeah, but there's a lot more space in America. Like, a lot more space.
I just get the impression with the UK, and this is almost getting political, is that it's just all about money and nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, I had a sneaky thought today, because I don't, you know, we've obviously not mentioned it in the news, but now that it looks like the Wembley deal's off, is why don't they look at maybe just building a stadium, but building it maybe in the middle of the country that's a little bit more accessible by everybody?
That's always the argument, and then everyone says Birmingham. But I'm not going to slag off Birmingham, but you've got to have it in London.
Yeah.
The deal isn't completely dead yet.
I've heard that.
Yeah, but there's rumours going to there, but it looks like higher FA member, but people want it reversing because they wanted it. So I think this will carry on for the rest of the season.
I think you're right. I don't think it's dead in the water, far from it.
No, because they've said it's... He's pulled out of it, but they've never said it's dead. Yeah. So I think the FA have got no money. The FA are going to have to get this deal through.
If they're going to look, and I know you've talked about this before, and stop me from going over old ground, because obviously do listen to the podcast. If the UK and London are going to get a franchise team, doesn't that raise a problem that Spurs grounds have been built with the purpose of having American football, but Wembley wants American football? Is that possibly what the issue is? Who's going to actually have the home team? Or are they going to have two franchises?
No, they'll have one franchise, which will be probably it's looking more likely that it'll be the Jaguars, and the home stadium will be Wembley. And then the NFL will bring other teams to play other regular season games, like, you know, Eagles versus Seattle or whatever will be played at
but you'll probably only get one of them a year.
Yeah,
you might only get one, maybe two of them a year.
So you don't think there's a position where you could have a franchise team at Tottenham and the franchise?
No,
team.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can, because at Premier League, Tottenham will need that ground more often.
Yeah, and it all comes down to whether we get a team that moves. So whether the Jags move, or the only other team that could potentially move would be the Chargers, because they're struggling for a home at the minute. So if you get a team that moves to London, that's one thing. Or the NFL completely do expansion teams, and then you might see that there's actually three or four teams coming, two to four, and then you might find that one goes to New Mexico or something, or they get another one in the States, and then it'll be a stamp.
Won't there be room for two teams in London, or am I just getting totally out of
it? I think there'll be only one in London.
I would be surprised if there's two. I think you're looking at one and one only.
Yeah.
I think the last mention of, they were potentially doing a four-team expansion in 2022, and I think the names were London, Mexico, St. Louis would get a team back, and then I can't remember the other area. It's somewhere what hasn't got a team now.
Wasn't Bradford, was it?
No, they're definitely not. Oh. Stu, don't rise to it.
Sorry.
I've tuned him out. I don't even listen anymore.
I'll just mention this. It's a bit of a low, but Ian will think this is a high. How bad's the Eagles getting? 17-0 with 15 minutes to go, and they're still lost.
He was brilliant, wasn't he? I had to play catch up a bit this week, but in that last drive as well, Cam Newton was on. He had to go for a fourth down with 10 yards to go, and he made that. I thought that was great. The last complete absolutely mad. It was great.
Is it proving now that last year was a fluke, or are they just having serious? I know they've got a lot of injuries. Is it a bit of bad luck? Because they look a shabby. Yeah. They don't look like they were last year.
I just think it is that hard to win a Super Bowl. Doing it back to back is bloody impossible, and I think what the Patriots have done is ridiculous over the last couple of years. So that just is more to do with what Bill Belichick's done, and I think sustaining it year on year is really hard.
Yeah,
and of course they had the problems with the quarterbacks, didn't they?
But Wentz played the first 8 weeks last year, didn't he?
Yeah. Say again, sorry.
Wentz played the first 8 weeks last year and got him into the position where they were going to the playoffs.
It was longer than 8 weeks, wasn't it? About week 13 he got injured.
But he practically got him to the playoffs. I know Foles then took him to final and won it, but if it weren't for Wentz in the early weeks, he probably wouldn't have got him there.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But you have a whole problem there where you've got two top-rated quarterbacks. Who do you play?
Well, Wentz will get it because he was the first round pick, wasn't he?
Yeah, but perhaps that wasn't the answer. Perhaps they're suffering a hangover because half of them are thinking they should have played Foles.
Yeah, it's a hard one. In theory, Foles should have gone. He should have gone to Jaguars.
But in my opinion, humble opinion, is the Super Bowl winning quarterback. Surely he should be allowed to prove it wasn't just a fluke.
Yeah.
Even though you've got Wentz, I understand you've got Wentz there. But sometimes, you know, you've got to go with what you're going to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. But if Wentz hadn't got injured, he would have been playing in that Super Bowl anyway.
But he did. This is what I'm saying.
There are questions, though. If Wentz was fit, they might not have got at Super Bowl.
I'm not being funny. If you look at the games that Foles played, he was pretty crap in all of them until they got to the playoffs.
Okay, fair enough. I'll have to...
Yeah, I think you've conceded that point.
But a lot of the times it was the play calling that helped him. It wasn't him. He was running the plays. He wasn't doing any particularly great changes at the line against a lot of the things that he was doing, he was just making, he was his receivers making plays or making catches. I agree, I think he should have moved on to try and prove that he won, but I think even he knew his own limitations and he was happy being in
number two
backup. Yeah,
and maybe that's what's caused the whole disruption then, I don't know.
No, but it's definitely interesting. So offensive and defensive players of the week, we'll come to Stu first.
Offensive player of the week, and I always said to myself that I wouldn't do this. I won't go for a Vikings player.
Oh, there you go.
But I don't think you can look far from Adam Thielen getting his seventh.
You've seen off me last week, haven't you?
Yeah, but the fact that he does it every week. I am 100% copying off you. Seventh, 100-yard receiving game in a row. That's just, I mean, that's ridiculous, is that? My other call out for offensive player of the week is Kerryon Johnson at Detroit. I thought he's now actually starting to look like the running back that Detroit have always wanted. He put in another 100-yard rushing game, so he's second of the season, and I think that's something that Detroit have missed, is a running game. And he completely and utterly showed up LeGarrette Blount, who looked awful. For defensive player of the week, a player that we've mentioned is Leonard at the Colts, who I thought was again an absolute beast this week.
Yeah,
he seems to be a one man tackling machine. He seems to be getting like 10, 12, sometimes 20 tackles a game. It's ridiculous. He's an absolute monster.
He is. He's crazy at the moment.
And the one week he was injured was the one week the Colts got absolutely pagged. So I think I'm going to go for him for my defensive player of the week.
Excellent, Ian.
I'm actually going with the Colts, my offensive player. I thought Marlon Mack was superb in the running game.
Yeah.
The weekend, I think that was a bit of a breakout game for him. So I think he can make that spot his going forward now. Playing like that, he was brilliant. Defensive player, for me, it was Aaron Donald. And again, I'm a bit limited this week because, as you know, I was driving back from Wembley, so I've watched highlights of a lot of the games. I didn't sit there on Sunday night watching many of them, but Aaron Donald, 4 sacks, forced fumble. The Rams in general were great on defence on Sunday, but Aaron Donald stood out. But just a shout out myself for, did you see that Jonathan Jones one-handed interception?
No.
That was superb. He reached in with one hand and just took it away from the receivers. He was always like,
oh yeah, I did see that. It was epic. It was almost like, it's almost like he turned round. It was almost like he was the receiver.
Yeah, he whipped it. He just whipped it away from him, took it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Look it up because it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Charles, offensive.
Well, I have actually got a couple of names and nobody's named them yet, so it might mean that the.
Don't nick my names, Charles.
you watched the wrong week.
Yeah. Oh, don't start me on that. Right, I've got for offensive player of the week. I know you're not allowed to have two, but I'm gonna sort of paper over that and say I've got an offensive player of the week and an honorary mention at the same time, and they both come from the Chiefs game. The player of the week, I think, was Kareem Hunt.
I'll agree with that. 3 touchdowns, 147 yards rushing, and then about 70 yards receiving. Class game.
He just everything he touched turned to gold. But moving on. Unless anyone else wants to say about that, I'll just talk to me. I'll do my honorary mention at the same time. Who is Mahomes?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just purely just for one particular. I mean, apart from his outstanding abilities, just for one little bit when they got a touchdown. And he was at the back of them all, pushing the bloke over. And it's just like, going an extra mile. He's just involved in everything. I think that's great. It's so great to see. So exciting.
Definitely.
And, you want a defensive... Do anyone else want to say anything about that? Or do you want a defensive player?
No, get your defensive. No,
I agree with them. I'll give you them. That's two good picks. It almost means like you only watch one game, though.
No, because I'm going to come to another game now. You see, I'm playing the Joker. The Broncos Cardinals game. Vaughn Miller.
Yep.
Yeah.
Vaughn Miller. Always, he was stripping balls. He was in the face of the quarterback all the time. I thought it was phenomenal.
He was. He had a really good game.
Yeah, he's an absolute beast. He's Von Miller.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just in awe watching him.
Yeah, yeah. He did have a fantastic.
Always there. He was like a one man defence.
Yeah, he is. That's what he is. He's a one man defence. Yeah.
So following on from that, Charles, in that game, so my offensive player of the week is Emmanuel Sanders. He had a fantastic game in that against the Cardinals. 102 receiving yards and one touchdown.
Was it 45-10 or something?
Yeah, 45-10.
Yeah.
He had a fantastic game. You've nicked my defensive player of the week, though, because I was going for double Denver. So, I don't want to mention a Dallas player.
Double D.
So, my other one, my other defensive player, will give to Corey Littleton of the Rams, who had 8 tackles and 2 sacks against the 49ers. So, along with Donald and everyone else, they've got Littleton chipping in with tackles now.
To be fair, though, didn't everybody in that front 7 get about 2 sacks?
they did absolutely batter the 49ers.
They did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there was many of the front 7 that didn't get a sack.
No, so pretty much all of us could have named the Rams player and still had some spare.
Should we just leave it that the Rams defence as a whole gets defensive player of the week?
Like we did with Baltimore the other week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. So that brings to the end our week 7 review.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah.
About week 7 review, and it's, I hate to do this because Ian's on here. He's and I just want to big up Dallas a little bit.
No.
Because and it takes a lot to do this, and Ian will be like, if he's not sat down now, he'll be sat down.
don't
spoil me thunder. You know, don't ruin it for me. Anyway, I just want to mention Dan Bailey. Everyone was saying Dallas was stupid for getting rid of him, and lo and behold, he misses another kick at the weekend.
So did Mayer at the end of the game.
I didn't see the end of the game, did I?
Trust me, you missed it. Sorry.
Yeah,
well, hit the post.
Yeah, because Sky blacked me out. Or rather, the Game Pass blacked me out.
Yeah, because of Sky.
But I still think that stands up that Dan Bailey's not the presence he once was, and I think Dallas were right to get rid of him.
Definitely.
Bailey's not the cream anymore, is he?
Sorry?
Bailey's not the cream anymore, is he?
No, but he's a lot better than Carlson.
Yeah, but Stuart also missed that, Ian, I'd like to point out. Yeah. He's not quite as intelligent as you.
I got it, but it was a really poor joke, and I glossed over it.
I thought it was really good.
Well, you would. It's an age thing, isn't it? To be fair, though, it's a drink that old people drink anyway, so...
But it's just ruined by the fact that Ian's delivery. Because it was obviously been thinking about that for some time.
Yeah.
I've only been down for 3 weeks. I've been waiting
to get to it. I could have come on specially just to line you up for that one.
Right.
Is that really why you're here?
No, we're going to get on to that now. So, as briefly mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have Charles on tonight, and we're Charles on for a very special reason. He's the other half of the Chuckle Brothers of the Idiots on Tour 2018, which starts this weekend. Ian, Charles are going over to the States to watch 4 games in the next 14 days. 10 days, what Charles told his wife. And they're going to be blogging, video blogs. We're going to phone them next week on the podcast. But really, it's over to you, Ian and Charles, to let everyone know what you're going to be getting up to.
Can I just clarify something? Because I am your one listener. I just want to clarify some abuse that I've been receiving over the last few weeks. And what I'd like to just set the record straight, please. Because
he hasn't got a wife.
Divorce has come on it.
It's eminently true about what happened last year, if anyone has been listening, about the fact that I did spring the Miami game last year on my wife with very little notice.
She cries.
This year, the truth of it is, I was at home one night just minding my own business, and my missus comes in and she said, "Why don't you go for a fortnight to America next year? Because you enjoyed it so much last year." and that's the truth of it, and the rest of it's all lies.
But what did she want? What did she want in return, Charles?
Are we on air still?
We're still on air.
Yes.
possibly reveal that.
Yeah, well, I think I'd be asking for a lot more than 2 weeks in America. Although, to be fair, technically, if you go for 2 weeks, you don't have to come back. That could solve all your problems.
I might have to come back because I still, contrary to popular belief, I've still got a job to go back to.
Well, yeah, this is true.
Yeah. I thought you'd retired.
I'm getting close. I'm getting close.
Yeah, so, do you want to fill everyone in, Ian, on what you guys are going to be getting up to and what you've got lined up?
Yeah, we're flying into LA. We get there on Saturday, and we're going. We've actually got an interview planned with one of the NFL officials. What's his name? Charles Blair Witch.
You sure? You two been led up Garden Path here?
Yeah. I'll come up with his name. I'll think about it.
Laird Hayes. It's Laird Hayes. He's actually been official at 3 Super Bowls, and he's an official at this year's as well. So we're going to.
We're not going to say too much about him because you're going to think up some really clever questions to ask him, and you can have it on the podcast another week. So I'm not going to spoil that. Suffice to say, we are going to be speaking to him.
Yeah, is please that, make sure you record it because otherwise it's pointless.
This could be interesting. Please make sure you record it, but I'm now worried about that.
Yeah, just make sure you've got it written down. I know you're both old, but you've got to remember to record it.
I can't imagine us doing it. I thought you were recording it.
Do you have to press play and record at the same time on the cassettes?
Yes.
Are you taking a Betamax with you?
Later that day, we're going to see the with the Coliseum to see the Rams
Packers.
Play the Packers. Yeah. We then are driving up the Pacific Highway to San Francisco.
Just be careful about how much information you give out here, because we don't want our fans following us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we don't want to let them know the hotels we're staying in.
Ian, I'm going to warn you now that one of the fans is probably going to be in the car with you.
Then we'll get to San Francisco. They're playing on the Thursday night next week against the Raiders. So the 49ers and the Raiders, which
that's I'm fascinated about that game.
That's going to be a humdinger, is that one?
Yeah, we can't wait.
Tell you what, it could be a humdinger, all joking aside.
Yeah,
for whatever reason. But I mean, they're both pretty poor this season, but it could make for a good game.
CJ Breathed is the legend.
Porn star with that tash.
Yeah.
After that, we're flying to New Orleans, and this game could be the game of the season, where the Saints are hosting the LA Rams on the Sunday tea time.
Yeah, that could be the game of the year.
That would be interesting.
And for any London listeners, Sunday tea, and I know I'm
yeah, it's half past nine.
For any London listeners, that's dinner time. Tea time, dinner time. Just a bit translation for you there.
Dinner time, is it? Dinner time's 12 o'clock.
Yeah, you don't realise that
when you're down south, you've got to make some exceptions for them. And they won't
listen. It's a bit of a pointless conversation because we've already established that we only have one listener, which is you, Chad. So you're telling yourself what time it's going to be on, and you're going to be in America.
I've told my mum to listen today.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, so.
Your mum's
going to listen anyway, so she'll.
Richard, make sure you cut that opening bit out then, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I will do. If Charles' mum's listening, I better cut that out.
Yes.
So watching that game, very excited about that. Then the following morning, we fly to Dallas. And
why would you want to do that?
Because we're going to be watching God's team play the Tennessee Titans at the AT&T.
Where's that? The Thursday night?
No, that's Monday night game.
So you're doing two games in 2 days?
Yeah.
Isn't Garrett? Garrett's not God. You told me you don't like him.
No, he's Mr. Clappy.
The Clappy.
Right. I didn't realize you'd raised him up to the level of God, though.
The whole team is why, if you notice, in some games when the sun shines, there's a gap in the stadium. That's so God can watch his own team fly.
Yeah. But don't they call Yorkshire God's country?
Yorkshire people do, yeah.
Well, you are Yorkshire people.
I'm technically not, am I? I'm from Lincolnshire.
You're one of them.
Yeah. My concern is, guys, so obviously we're gonna call you next Tuesday to get you on the show.
Obviously, you're gonna be seeing you next Tuesday.
You're gonna be driving, so I'm concerned that you may have been locked up for some road offences somewhere.
That's very true. Yeah.
When do you fly back? Do you fly back on the Tuesday after the Dallas game?
No. We've got a few days in Dallas after that. We're going to do the stadium tour at the AT&T.
What he's saying, he wants to go and see Mr. Clappistew. He really wants to meet his idol.
No, I'm just thinking that are we going to get you on the Tuesday after as well, after the Dallas game, to do it?
Yeah, you can do
that. Yeah, back to back Tuesdays, we'll get them both on.
Yeah. What we're going to do while we're over there?
Yeah.
Yeah. All you need to do is find somewhere with internet and we'll Skype call it.
Yeah, no problem.
Are you guys going to also, on your road trips, whenever you go to find a donut shop, are you going to take a photo for Luke?
Luke Benz?
Yeah, because we know Luke likes a good donut.
We're going to take a photo. He's actually asked us for a donut from every shop that we find.
Just the one or a box?
Well, he originally said just every stop at Dunkin' Donuts in every town, but we thought it was more adventurous with
it. You'll never get to any games, though, if you have to stop at a donut shop.
Yeah, and to be fair, there's Krusty Krem as well, and you've got to bear in mind that he's got a lot more mouths to feed now, hasn't he?
Oh,
yeah, of course.
when he goes on holiday, he has a chance of the old plane now.
Yeah, he has. He's technically a private jet, if you ask him.
We was on about coming across to America next year,
wasn't he? He won't be coming across next year, trust me. Maintenance will be too high.
Apparently we have to use the Greyhound bus service.
Yeah, well, he is going to America next year, but it's more to Disneyland. his private jet's going to take them all over.
Yeah. Are his kids big enough to go on the rides, though?
The book just for him.
Yeah,
the kids.
Yeah, to be fair, Charles, some of the kids are too big for him, and some of the kids are too small for him, and then some of the kids are just about right.
But surely the adults have got to go, if the little kids, the adults have got to go on rides and Luke won't fit on them.
Yeah. No, Luke will be in queue for donuts.
Yeah, of course.
And he'll see Mickey Mouse wearing a Luke Binns watch.
It's another one that Ian wrote down 2 weeks ago.
Ian, you're on absolute form tonight.
It's a shame the proudest moment is not going to be aired. Just you,
obviously.
It's a shame Luke couldn't even listen to this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, it is a good job, really, not taking Luke, because the speed of his driving every week, you'd never get anywhere in America, Ian.
That's very true, yeah. Can you imagine
how long we're waiting for him?
Yeah. It's only 2 hours from Bradford to London.
Yeah. I seem to think that was on last week's podcast, wasn't it? So I'm not going to go over it again.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and you can do.
I did predict the type of car he'd turned up in, though.
You did, yes.
What a crap one.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Dirty.
Full of dirt. Was
it
Luke?
Yeah.
No, it's Luke's.
The funniest thing about that weekend was that when we met you from half time and we walked back, we got back to a seat early, and on the way back there was Krusty Krem donuts being sold on the concourse.
Guess who bought them?
Luke came round the corner holding a box of Krusty Krem donuts. I nearly fell off my chair laughing. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, so obviously to get a bit of a sidetrack, but yeah, if the listeners join in for the next two shows, we'll have updates from Ian and Charles. They're going to be posting videos on the Facebook group and on YouTube.
What we'll probably do on the First Down Facebook group as well is every day we'll just post a load of photos in one go.
Yeah,
and what we've been doing.
Put a little bit of commentary behind them as well, then.
Well, we've got the capability. No. We can maybe do a bit of video.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah.
I'm wondering, Stu. Obviously, went to Miami last year. I wonder if Ian's going to find a long lost brother this year.
Oh yeah,
I met Justin.
yeah,
just talked to a few guys.
Don't neglect Justin, will you?
No.
There's one thing that's true, though, about this trip, is that something's going to go wrong.
Yeah, I booked it with you.
It always does. I can't defend myself on that.
Charles, I'm just going to go back to experience from last year. But when you got on the tube to go to Twickenham, you left your tickets home and had to go back. So please remember the tickets.
Oh, we didn't get as far as getting on the tube. We just got down into the town centre.
So no, we were about to step on the tube. We
but crucially, we didn't.
No, we didn't get on the tube. Yeah.
Right. Well, if you're going to talk about this, I'm going to go back several years when Ian Davis came down to London with his then missus. Bear in mind, he's coming down to London from deepest, darkest Epworth or wherever it is. Without his passport, and he was going to America, or he was going to abroad anyway. not only that, he had to phone his mate up in the middle of the night, who was good enough to bring him down for him.
Break into my house first
and break into my house.
Him down.
Yeah, and that trumps anything about me just walking down the street and having to come back.
Wow,
does I'm not saying worth. I'm not saying worth what happened. Sorry,
does it trump flying into Miami?
Oh.
And you go down on my shoulder and saying we're landing at Miami, and I'm saying I know. Yeah, but Miami. Yeah, I know. And then you went, not Fort Lauderdale. No. And then you just sat back, and I'm like, what's that all about? You said, well, you know the car we're buying. He's waiting for us at Fort Lauderdale.
Obviously, because that's where I took off. We were flying to Fort Lauderdale.
Well, we were. We've never been diverted to the plane.
Are you and me, Stuart, that something's going to happen next week?
Well, it's going to be entertaining. I need to backtrack a little bit, because the whole story about Ian forgetting his passport. How did he get them eventually?
His mate.
I'm calling it fake news. There's no way that Ian's got another friend. It's taken me all this time to realise that you're his friend, Charles. I can't accept he's got another one.
You'll see the video. You'll see how big friends we are when you see if you get to see any of the videos.
Well, definitely something to watch out for the next couple of weeks. So thank you for that brief detail of what you're going to be doing. So, we want to close our show as we always do with our honourable mentions. So, who wants to go first with an honourable mention?
Well, unfortunately, I burnt my honourable mention. I forgot it was at the end of the show.
It's alright, Charles. Don't worry. You've told us a good insight there on Ian's travels, so we can let you off on that.
Go on then.
The fact that the Cowboys had that field goal to tie it at the end, which meant no attempt to win it, but that's far from that. And then they got that 5-yard penalty against them, which knocked them back. He ended up hitting the post. So you would say probably 5 yards further forward he would have got it. And there was absolutely nothing wrong with what they did. The way they snapped it was exactly the same as they always snap it, and exactly the same as they snapped it the second time when it was allowed.
I don't agree with that. I think there was something wrong with it.
No.
There was?
No.
There was?
No.
This could go on for a long time.
I was just thinking this. And
do you want to know what was wrong with it? Shall I tell you?
What?
They were wearing Dallas uniforms. therefore, and not enough penalties get called. So you're lucky that you've only got away with a couple last week.
Disgraceful decision it was. In fact, an official's been sacked mid-season. I've just read about that tonight. Something that went on last week.
So, I've got a bit of an honourable mention, but it's a bit of a embarrassment, really, again, towards Wembley. So, do you know the introductions at the weekend? And he announced all the Star Chargers players individually, but all players had already come out. So all cheerleaders were there still with pom-poms, with flames going up, and they're announcing one by one, but all players were already on the side of field.
Yeah.
No one told the players then, obviously.
No.
Can I come in with some honourable mentions now? I've had time to think about
stuff. Yeah, of course you can.
They're only minor stuff. Honourable mention, whether it's an honourable or dishonourable mention, and I don't think we mentioned this, in the game at Wembley, with the Titans having the balls to go for the two-pointer at the end. Did we mention that?
Is it balls or stupidity?
Well, no, I've written, I wrote a note about it just while I was speaking to you, just so I remember to say it, and I put balls stroke stupidity.
I thought
it'd be balls if they'd have won.
I thought it was a cracking decision, because if we'd have had overtime, I wouldn't have been able to drive out and watch most of the Dallas game.
And he did mention that at the time, he was moaning. He was the only one moaning about the excitement of him going for the two-pointer.
Yeah, to be honest,
I think it was a ridiculous, especially when his first attempt to go for the two-pointer was a penalty and he got nowhere near doing it. I think they should have just taken the point.
But it keeps things exciting, especially when you're neutral.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah, it does. But if you're a Titans fan, you are thinking, what the chuff has he just done?
You feel shortchanged. But if they'd have got they'd have been heroes.
Well, no, because I actually think that they were the better team in that second half.
I think they would have took it in overtime if they went to it.
I think they would have taken it in overtime as well, so...
But so, Ian's got a lot of clout, obviously, and he needs radio.
Yeah, I think it was time
to get back.
And what happened was, I rang my mate Justin up.
You know,
lads on Titans coaching staff, and says, yeah, leave it with me. I'll get him to go for a two-pointer, and that's what happened.
Do you know Ian's mate is also that bloke who dances at Wembley? Who we haven't seen, I don't think we've seen this year.
He hasn't been there this year, has he?
No, because they found out he's your mate.
What, Ian's best mate is that dancing dolphin what comes to Wembley every few years?
No, you know that guy? Can I just say, he is not my mate. And I don't know.
We've already established
that you don't have any friends.
Yeah, and I'm quite happy with that when we're talking about this. That guy, who the panto in the crowd, and he just dances and just stupid moves, and he's really annoying. You must remember it.
Maybe it's only us. Maybe it's imaginary and it's just me.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't exist. Yeah. Maybe it's like the Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, that's my recommendation for the week.
Yeah.
Any mentions for you, Stu, before we finish?
I've still got some.
Oh.
Oh, we'll be here for forever.
He actually said some.
Yeah.
Not even one.
Two things. One's a bit of an iffy one, which I've mentioned already, but first of all, the Chiefs, I'm going to say defence rather than defence, but the Chiefs' defence was a lot... Oh, I've just said it now, haven't I? The Chiefs' defence looked a lot better this week because they've been criticised a lot, haven't they, throughout the season for being a bit average.
Yeah, by us.
I thought they looked pretty good this week. Maybe it's only because they're up against mediocre opposition, but I thought they looked a lot better. So that's just a quick one for the Chiefs' defence.
Yeah.
Defend. And my last one, as I've touched on earlier on, is an honourable mention for the NFL. Why can't they make half times longer? They've got a game that lasts 3.5 hours and they only allow, is it 10 minutes for half time? 15 minutes for half time?
Yeah, it doesn't allow enough time to walk around Wembley, does it?
It does. But they've got a 3.5 hour game. They can spare another, like, say, 20 minutes. And think of all the money they make out of selling this quite expensive food at Wembley and drink.
Yeah, but it's not built around live game. It's built around the TV commercials, and you wouldn't want a half an hour gap between CBS, wouldn't you? That's why it's only 10 minutes.
And when you go to America, it's not as chaotic getting food and drink at the stadium.
No, it's not.
Wembley. It's Wembley that's a nightmare.
It's horrendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like that over there. Totally different. Mm.
No, I'd agree with that. Maybe it's just a problem with Wembley then, but it's frustrating because we dearly wanted to get over and see Stuart last week, and I only got to see him for about 30 seconds.
I didn't even realise it. I thought that Ian was talking to a homeless person.
Don't start me on Mr. Burns again, please.
Any more for you there, Charles?
That's me.
That's you. Go on, Stu. Close the show down.
I've actually got an actual honourable mention, not the insane ramblings of an old person. Did anybody see Mitchell Trubisky's NFL record that he set at the weekend?
No, what was this one?
So, Mitchell Trubisky now holds the record for the longest touchdown with the shortest gain. So, They were on the 8 yard line, so it was I think it was third and goal with 8 yards to go, and he managed to run 75 yards by going, he basically dropped back in the pocket, then a load of defenders came after him, so he kind of did a big looping run, and he ended up coming all the way back round and dropping back into the corner, and it became the longest run play to gain the shortest yards to get a touchdown in NFL history.
Wow. Did not see that one.
You wanna check it out, because it's really funny, because basically he's got the entire defense chasing him,
yeah,
as he kind of does these little spin moves, gets away from him, and then just runs into the corner. It's quite funny.
That is quite funny.
There's a lot of good stuff in that New England game, actually. You know, that we've been talking about one-handed interception. Obviously, there's the Hail Mary at the end. Then there's
The Hail Mary.
Yeah, and then Cordarrelle Patterson. He lost the ball on a kickoff return, fumbled it, and then he got it. And then I think it was the very next kickoff, he ran it back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff happening in that game.
To be honest, I thought the Bears played really well. I thought they pushed the Pats really close. I thought it was a good game.
That was a true test of how far the Bears have come, really, isn't it? So it was really good to see how they came on in it.
I think we can take a bit of heart from that, can't we? You know, they ran the Patriots really close.
I don't think that Patriots defense is particularly great at the minute, though.
No. Well, they're still winning, aren't they, at the minute?
Exactly.
Well, I just think that they've got some. I think that offence is just decent. They've got James White and Sonny Michel doing some really good stuff out the backfield, and now that they've got Edelman back and they're getting Gordon more up to speed, I think that offence is only going to get better.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure.
Has it really?
Depends which way you look at it from. So obviously enjoy and good luck in the States, don't get into too much trouble.
Hopefully I've talked enough so that you can't quite edit all of everything I say out.
We'd never edit you out, Charles. Stuart, mate.
You've definitely got more opinions than Ian.
Yeah.
So
maybe we should trade Ian away and get Charles to do the podcast on a weekly basis.
It cost you a first round pick.
You're not worth the first round pick.
So, well, good luck over there, guys, and then we'll speak to you on Tuesday. Thanks again, everyone, for listening as always.
He's on the cast.
I'm on the podcast.
Yeah, we just heard it all first hand, haven't they? So
I'll listen back to it later, and then I can be the one person who's listening.
Okay, then. Right. Well, same time next week, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.